today on It's Time.
Remember what God has done for you and know that He wants to do that for other people.
I hear the calling, it's time.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going verse by verse through the book of Titus. So, follow along in your Bible as we join Pastor Mike.
It's time these wounds to heal.
And if you have your Bible today, I'd like to invite you to open them to the book of Titus. This little book written by Paul to a young minister in a very, very wicked area of the world. You know, there's certain towns that carry a certain ambiance with them. When you think of Honolulu, what do you immediately think of? Well, palm trees and, you know, beaches, things like that. Well, when you say Las Vegas, most people think of maybe gambling and debauchery and the mob and all those kinds of things. Well, when you said the word Crete in those days, that's what came to mind. Lawlessness, drunkenness, party town, this was the island of Crete. And Paul writes to this young minister on this island on how to help keep the people who love God walking in the Spirit. And so this morning, let's pray as we go to His Word. Father, as we look at your Bible today, and we realize that someday you're going to hold the whole world accountable. And we just ask you that, Lord, as we would read these words today, that you would keep all of us, and especially in this brand new year, in your perfect will. God, we know that there's your permissive will, but Lord, we want to be in your perfect will, to be the best we can be for you. And so as we read these words today, may they come alive by your Holy Spirit, as your Holy Spirit wrote them, in Jesus' name, amen. Where we left off last week was chapter 2. And again, the last verse of chapter 2 says, "Speak the things... exhort, rebuke with all authority, and let no one despise you." Speak these things. Exhort, rebuke with all authority. The word exhort means to build up. And by the way, friends, that's the only true place you're going to get built up. You know, a lot of times we think we're going to get built up by doing many other things. The kind of car we drive or the friends we hang with. All those things, somehow we think in our minds, they're going to build me up. They're going to make me something. But the Bible here says that really we're built up in the faith. Now, when we get into chapter 3 here, we're going to see how a Christian lives in a fallen world. Now, that's a real challenge for anyone. When you look around and realize that everything that is good, that is right, is kind of going against society today because society has gone sideways. So how do I remain faithful to God in a world that's contrary to God? Paul writes to Titus saying, look, this is what you need to keep the people that you love so much into. So he says, remind them to be subject to rulers, authorities to obey, and be ready for every good work. The word here, remind, in the original language, in the Greek, means continuously remind. I need to be continuously reminded. Now, it's kind of interesting that Jesus refers to us not only as His bride, but as His children as well. And I don't know if you've been around children very much, but one of the things you have to continually remind them of is everything. No, I'm serious. You know, hold my hand. We're crossing the street, you know. Buckle your safety belt. I mean, we just continually have to remind them. Well, what Paul is telling Titus here, remind every person that you know concerning these things, to be subject to the rulers and authority. Probably because Crete was such a Wild West town where law and order didn't have much value. And so he's saying, look, to stay out of trouble, do what you're supposed to do. Now, again, I think that's really important because there's always such a temptation in my life to speed. Sometimes I have been very cautious about putting Jesus bumper stickers on my car because I feel I'm such a Ricky racer that I'm going to offend somebody. But the truth of the matter is we need to obey the laws. They're good for us. And I do believe God in his love does remind us to do that. And God puts things in our life to remind us not to get ahead of him. And I don't just need to be reminded of this once. I need to be reminded all the time. That's why it's important the friends you pick will either remind you to be more like Christ or your friends will try to get you to be more like the world. If you live your life for Christ, you're going to be blessed in the long run. Why is that? Because that's what God blesses. And you want to be under the blessing of God. As I prayed earlier today, that every one of us would be in the perfect will of God. And when we ask God for things, rather than asking for things, and I know we all do, I do as well, but I would rather say, God, I want to be in your perfect will. Because when I'm in your perfect will, nothing else really matters. I mean, when I'm in your perfect will, I'm going to be about the things that are pleasing to you to be ready for every good work, as it says. See, there's a lot of good things that attribute to us. Now, there's a couple things. One, good works follow every one of us every day. Good works not only follow us into tomorrow, but then rewarding into eternity. And so that's why we want to be about our Father's business. Now, how is that? Well, really, as we look at the next couple of verses, it just speaks of kindness. I need to be reminded to be kind. That's one of the great things about coming to church and being around saints. And, hey, that's right, God, you know, help me keep my priorities right that I don't believe the lie of the world. Because he starts off and he says, to speak evil of no one. Gosh, don't you get tired of being around people that just like to chew on people? I know, and in my own life, I see this sometimes, and I just go, golly, I hate that. And you know, you'll notice sometimes if you ever are involved in that, and you are a Christian, and I believe the day that you turn your life over to Christ. Now, what I mean by that is not just deciding to go to church, but it's where you say, okay, God, I have exhausted my ability to live the way I know I should. And now I want you to supernaturally come and live inside of me to help me be this way. I renounce my life of selfishness. And from now on, Jesus, I want to live for you. I believe you died on the cross for me. And because our sins are forgiven, we have a relationship with God. So he says, to speak evil of no one. I need God's help because it seems to be that's the nature of the world. To be speaking bad about someone. To be peaceable, that means not looking for a fight or looking to have the superiority in the conversation or whatever it might be, but to be peaceable and gentle. You know, these, by the way, friends, are the people I like to be around. Don't you hate to be around a bunch of people that are just chewing everybody apart? And then when you walk away from the crowd, then they're chewing about you? Always remember, if they're chewing about somebody else, they will eventually chew on you as well. And so he says to be gentle, showing humility to all men. Now, that's just exactly opposite of what we find today in the world. Today in the world, it's all about me, self, I, you know, and we have everything that seems to placate to that, that, you know, you're number one, get out there and go for the gusto kind of thing. Well, it's one of the problems that we find. For we ourselves were once foolish. Now, here he draws a stark contrast between being peaceable and gentle and not being around people that are running other people down. But he said, you were once this way, foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Well, I'll tell you, that's kind of a pretty tough group when you really think about it. But in one area or another, you'll probably find that before you came to Christ, you would fit in probably better with one of these descriptions than maybe even another one, or maybe several. In other words, maybe you didn't have any problem being deceived, but maybe you were living for pleasure. See, the problem is when we live our lives for ourselves, we forget about everybody else and that God didn't take us to heaven when we got saved so that we can still be a blessing to people around us. And so he says, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness, and friends, this is so important. It isn't because I was good that made me good. See, this is one of the fallacies and the misunderstanding of true Christianity and religion. Religion says, get out there and be good and you'll be good. Jesus Christ changed that. God says, I know that you people that I made, understanding your fallen nature, you can't be good on your own. So I'm going to do something for you that you can't do. I'm going to come and live inside of you and change the way you look at life. That's pretty neat. That shows me that it isn't no longer my efforts and my energies and all these things, but now it's God coming in and doing something that I could never do in myself. And so it says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. You think about the ideas of righteousness that we can do. We take a lot of pride sometimes in what we do. And I think we as Christians probably should, not so much for us, but that we represent our King. So he says, but it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. According to his mercy. Again, mercy is not getting what we all deserve. And I'll tell you, friends, again, if you ever get a traffic ticket, never go into the judge and say, come on, judge, give me what's coming. You don't want that. You know, you ever read some of these statutes can be punishable. You ever watch, and I always wonder about this. You know, you watch a movie and it comes on, copying this film carries a federal and it has IPOL and all the European numbers on there, up to $100,000 fine and 5 years in prison. That's the maximum sentence. But generally speaking, if you got caught copying a DVD or something like that, they would probably let you go with a hand slap. Now, if you set up a thing at a swap meet and you were selling all these bootleg CDs, they would probably issue a stronger fine. But if you got busted for that, you don't want to say, hey, judge, give me what's coming to me, $100,000 fine and 5 years in prison. You would say, mercy. God looks at us. We're all guilty. We're all guilty of so much more than God has ever passed on to us. And it's his mercy in our life that he has saved us. Now, friends, understand this. What we've received from God, we then give to others. Understand this. When God has been merciful to you and me, Daddy's heart is that we would be merciful to other people. Do people do goofy stuff? Yes. Do we recognize their goofy stuff? Yes. But just as God has forgiven you of your goofy stuff, God wants us to forgive them of their goofy stuff. And there's a lot of goofy stuff in the world. You stop to think about it for a minute, but God's forgiveness. And see, it's interesting when Jesus taught the disciples to pray. And again, it's not a prayer to be prayed mindlessly. How many times you can pray it somehow, you know, look, God, I said five Our Fathers, and so you should give me that new car, you know, kind of thing. But really, the prayer that often is called the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus taught the disciples to pray, but part of it, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who debt or sin against us. Here's why. When I realize how God was merciful to me, I then can be merciful to others. Now again, if you have not had God's mercy extended towards you, then you probably aren't very merciful to other people. Why is that? Because what we've received from God, we can give from God. By the way, if you've led if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you can lead somebody to Jesus. If you've been baptized, do you know, biblically speaking, you can baptize somebody? It's not reserved for a priest or a pastor or somebody else. What you receive from God, you can give. If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you can lay hands on somebody and say, Lord, just help them and empower them. You can do that. Well, another thing, if you've received mercy from God, you can give mercy. If you receive the kindness of God, you can give kindness. Why? Because I realized in my lost, dumb, stupid, bumbling state, God was gracious and merciful to me. I want to be merciful to other people. Knowing this, the Bible says, it's the goodness of God that causes a person to repent. Isn't that amazing? It's the goodness of God that causes a person to repent. You know, when you stop, I remember listening to a guy that was a prize fighter one time. And he said, I had no regard for God in my life. But he said, I remember when my child was born and I looked at his little ears and his little nose and all that. And he said, I just knew within me there was somebody I wanted to thank for having a child like this. I think one of the most hard things in the world is to want to be thankful but not know who to thank. I think this is why Thanksgiving time is such an unusual time, because we're giving Thanksgiving nationally, but we've forgotten our God, so who are we thanking? Well, it's Turkey Day. Well, you know, if that's your God, then okay. But I found this in my life, that you become more like what you worship. If you worship turkey on Turkey Day, you're a turkey. I have found that if you worship the dollar bill, you're green and wrinkled. That's just the way it works. You become more of whatever you serve. But if you serve a loving God that you have realized that has been merciful to you, and you're lost, my lost state of being, I can then be merciful to other people. And this is what Titus is being taught by Paul. Remember what God has done for you and know that he wants to do that for other people. And it's not something that naturally comes. It's something has, and by the way, friends, I believe this, all things have a source. I think all things have a source, good or bad. That's why in the book of Proverbs, Solomon says, and he addresses, if you ever read Proverbs, it's pretty interesting, because he is writing to his kids, king's kids. Well, somebody might read that and say, well, I guess that's not talking to me. Oh, yes, it is. You're a king's kid too. And how to behave in a world that's contrary to the Spirit of God. But in that, he writes and he says, be careful of the company you keep. There is a source for all things. And if you have bad friends that are taking your heart away from God, if you got friends that are in drugs, if you got friends that are into weird living, the thing is, that's going to drag you. That's the source of that coming into your life. So in this new year, as an example, be aware of the source of things. Now, on the other hand, you can have sources of good things in your life. Reading the Bible, listening to songs that glorify God. Now, maybe not every song has got to say, yeah, yeah, Jesus, Jesus, get saved. But it should, in some way, reflect the glory of God. And again, it doesn't matter whether you're into rock and roll or country western. I don't know about opera. I can't really understand anything they say in opera. I just can't do it. But I do know that the music can be a source of changing your mind, or the media or TV can be a source of changing your mind, what is acceptable and not acceptable in society, in your personal life, but still may not be acceptable to God. So when I see something that doesn't line up with the Word of God, I got to be careful that I don't let the songs, the words in the songs influence what I think or what I'm seeing on television or what my friends are saying. The source. Always go back to the source. And you'll find that you can overcome that bad information by God's word, by being around Christians. But then if I go back to those same friends again, that source is going to begin to pump bad stuff back into my life again. It's only a foolish person that continues to do the same things with the thinking I'm going to have a different outcome. It doesn't work. You've got to change the beginning of it all. So he says here that he has abundantly, by the way, it says whom he's poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, again, that source is what you need to tap into. Poured out abundantly. You want to go to the source of your abundant living. Where is that? It's God, God's kingdom, and those things. It's not joining a church. By the way, friends, church will never save you. Joining a church will never save you. It's your personal relationship with Him and God pouring through that relationship into your life, reminding me how much I've been forgiven for, and I'm in a lost world that needs to be forgiven too. Let's go bring them the message. That's what God's word says. That's why we're still here. Oh, I just wish sometimes when we had altar calls, people come down in front or pray in their seat. All of a sudden, whew, they just vanish. Why? Well, God took them to heaven. Well, that'd be great. But here's the point. God left us here. God's left you and me here for a reason. And that's to be salt and light in a world that doesn't know Him. He is poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now again, I like that because when you have eternal life, you live differently than if you're living your life in a question mark. And there's always something that eats at a person that doesn't know their eternal destiny. They can spend their life as an atheist going, there is no God, there is no God, there is no God. You can spend your life saying that over and over again, but still there's that haunting or there's that nagging of what if there is a God and where am I going to spend eternity? I've had people say, well, I believe when you're dead, you're dead. Really? Okay. You got to ask yourself, do you feel lucky? Here's why. Because if you're wrong, you could pay eternally for the rejection of Jesus Christ who would have taken away your sins. You see, that's one of the things. And the Bible does speak of an eternal hell. Jesus spoke 11 times in the Gospels about hell, that it is a real place and it is an eternal place. So I don't want to mess around with that. If there's a chance, 1 in 100 million billion, that hell's a real place, and that there's a possibility that people or I myself may go there, I would want to do everything I could do to get out of that place and not just simply say, I don't believe there's God, I don't believe there's hell, I don't believe there's heaven. Above is only sky. I'm sorry. Got to know your John Lennon songs anyway. But he says, do you want to take the chance? And I don't want to take that chance. And I think anybody that's an atheist today has no peace in their life because there's still that nagging question. What if I'm wrong? What if there is an eternity? And where will I be in eternity? See, eternity, friends, let me tell you, is a long, long time. And I would rather go through a few inconveniences in this life to be about my Father's business than to spend an eternity apart from God and being punished for what I have done. You see, the thing is, I think every person here realizes there needs to be a punishment. Do you know why? That's why you go to movies. You see, if you look at really every movie or just about every movie that's out there, it's all based on the Bible. What? Yeah, they are. You see, there was once everything was really good. And then something came along and made it really bad. And so therefore, we needed a Savior.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, You can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening and tune in next time for It's Time.